So let's look at this passage together. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 23. I encourage you to turn there in your Bibles or on your phone or your tablet or whatever device you're using. Follow along as I read. I'm reading from the ESV, but if you have a different version, that's okay too. So Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this book of Ephesians. Thank you for the time you've given us to spend in it. And today, as we finish up these last verses, Lord, I just pray that again, once again, you would open our hearts, make our hearts receptive to what you would have us to learn today from your word. Thank you that your word is living and active because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're going to teach us today, Lord. Impress your word upon our hearts in a very special way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul begins verse 10 with "finally." That's not because he's like, "finally, I'm almost done this letter." No, he's saying, after all this instruction, after all his teaching and explaining, all he's asked believers in Christ to do, he's saying, there's one last thing, one final thing believers must do. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Notice he doesn't just say, be strong. It's not enough. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, in God's might. Human effort here is inadequate, but God's power is invincible. If you think back over all that Paul has asked of the believer throughout this book, it should be quite apparent that living this new life in Christ Jesus is humanly impossible. We're not strong enough on our own. Our strength must come from God. Remember Paul's prayer back in chapter 3. He prays that we would be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. It's not enough for us just to try our best. We need God's help. Our strength must come from Him, or we will fail. So how are we going to be strong in the Lord? And why is it so important to be strong? Well, verses 11 through 13 tell us. This is how. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So the how is we need to take up the armor of God, but the reason we need the armor of God is because we are up against spiritual forces, not earthly forces. Now see, Satan has already been defeated. We know that. We've read the end of the book. Christ's work on the cross took care of that. But the temptation to sin still remains. Satan will still try to continue to make us fall. And we must stand firm by the power and strength of the Lord. You notice Paul mentions the schemes of the devil. Satan will try everything to make us fall. He'll use sin. He'll use immoral practices. He'll use false theology, false religions, worldly enticements. Anything he can to get us to fall away from our new life in Christ. We're in a fight. Did you notice Paul uses the term wrestle? What do you think of when you hear that word? Something like this, maybe? Wrestling's an individual sport or combat. It's one-on-one, hand-to-hand, head-to-head. Each of us individually are in a wrestling match with the spiritual forces of the heavenly places, the spiritual realm. Now, Paul lists them here. You notice rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil. We don't know exactly if he was referring to specific dimensions of the spiritual realm or not, but it certainly is referring to Satan and the demons, those fallen angels that followed Satan in his rebellion against God. See, sometimes we forget we're in a spiritual battle. Sometimes it's easy to think that we're fighting against ungodly people and secular groups or organizations sometimes. When we focus too much on the perceived human enemy, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that it's really a spiritual battle. And we need to prepare and be ready to wrestle in a spiritual manner. What does that look like, this spiritual battle? Well, Paul lays it out for us in the following verses as he describes the armor of God that we need to put on and take up in order to resist Satan's assaults of the devil in the evil day. You see, ever since the fall of man, the days have been evil. And they will continue to be that way until the return of Christ, when he comes to rule and reign over a new heaven and a new earth. The armor, Paul says, the armor will allow us to stand firm or hold our ground. You see, this is not us suiting up for an invasion or for a mass assault on evil. No, this is a defensive position. We're not supposed to give ground. You see, if you're standing firm and someone can force you to take a step back and then maybe another step back, and even if they're just little steps, eventually you've lost a lot of ground. And before you know it, you're like, how did I get so far back from where I was trying to stand firm? We need to hold our ground right where we are. Notice too that Paul says we'll be able to stand firm once the battle is over. Let's look at the armor that we need. Look at verses 14 through 17. He says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, Paul uses the examples of the tools of the Roman soldier here to illustrate the spiritual battle that we're in. Why? Well, probably because he was chained up to one of them and he was standing right there 24 hours a day, and it was a really logical application. He's standing right there. So he used that illustration for us to put in our head an image of what this spiritual armor looks like. He lists six items in the armor of God: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes that are the readiness given by the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the first three, you'll notice, are to be put on. They're to be worn at all times. A Roman soldier would wear them all the time. The second three were to be taken up, carried with us, or the Roman soldier would carry them with him, ready to be used in time of battle. Let's look at them a little more closely. The belt of truth. Paul says we are to fasten on the belt of truth. Truth is an important defense against the devil's schemes because, in case you haven't noticed, his most common attack involves lies. Lies and half-truths and deceit. Satan is the great deceiver, and we need truth to expose his lies. And while it's important that we hold fast to truth, the reason Paul describes this as the belt, I think, is because it's equally important that the truth holds fast to us and holds on to us. You see, the basic item everyone wore in those days wasn't, they didn't have pants, right? They wore these tunics. They were like a big dress. If you look at Arab nations and that culture, they still dress that way. And the problem with that is that it's very kind of baggy and it's hard to move, and it would be really hard to fight in hand-to-hand combat. But the belt, you could wrap that belt around you and you could tuck all the loose ends of the garment in the belt so that you could move and fight and do what you need to do. Everything that could hinder the soldier's ability to engage in combat was tucked away into that belt. And that's what truth does for the believer. You see, truth incapacitates all the lies of the devil that could otherwise discourage us or trick us into failing to protect ourselves from the devil's attack. And truth's not about brute strength, is it? It's about character. Without truth, we don't even know what to defend ourselves from. We wouldn't even recognize the attacks as they are coming because we wouldn't know, is that true or false? Is that something I should be afraid of or not? How would we know? Remember the point of this armor: to enable us to stand firm rather than give up ground. Truth is essential before the battle even begins. We need to know the truth. Well, next, Paul talks about the breastplate of righteousness. So you know the breastplate is that armor piece that, you know, covered the torso, protected all the vital organs. Again, this is something that we're to put on. We should always be wearing it, not just waiting to put it on when we need it. What is righteousness? Well, righteousness has to do with our lifestyle, how we live. It's right living. Another word for it could be holiness. Or Christ-likeness. We often talk, especially in the Alliance Church, about sanctification. The process where God sets us apart and makes us holy or righteous. This is the righteousness Paul is talking about here. I mentioned we should always be wearing this armor. That's because righteousness is not just something we put on when we need it. Or when we're together at church on Sunday mornings. We don't just live a godly life when we get together with other Christians. It should affect every aspect of our life. If we endeavor to live a righteous, holy life, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, since we could never do it on our own, if we do that, that righteous lifestyle will go a long way to protect us from the attack of Satan. It will limit the way in which he can attack you. And will also help you withstand his attacks. Let me explain what I mean by that. It will limit the way in which the devil can attack because Satan can't read your mind. You see, Satan is not all-knowing like God is. He's also not omnipresent everywhere at the same time like God is. Now, he's got lots of demons or fallen angels around lots of places too, but he doesn't know your thoughts like God does, but he sees your actions. He knows how you spend your time. He knows what you watch. He knows what books you read, what movies you go to see, how you speak, what you watch on TV. He knows what you say or what happens when you get angry, how you lose your temper. All those things, he sees your actions. If anything you do in your daily life is unrighteous, then Satan will see it and he'll know where your weakness is and he'll know where to attack you. On the other hand, if your lifestyle is holy and righteous, then Satan lacks the inside information that he needs to know where your weaknesses are. He'll still attack, but it will be general temptation rather than specific temptation that attacks your certain weaknesses. And then because you're already in the habit of holy, righteous living, you'll be much less likely to give in when that temptation arises and comes. So far we have truth and righteousness. Next, Paul talks about putting on shoes that are the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The footwear that the Roman soldier wore, I'm not sure if they were sandals or boots or something, we're not sure exactly, but they were designed to give them sure-footedness. In fact, there were hobnails. You know what hobnails are? Some of you do. Younger people, cleats. All right? It's like they had cleats on the bottom of their shoes. Okay? To help them grip the ground where they stood, give them a firm purchase. Right? We sang this morning about how firm our foundation. Those shoes would give you a firm grip on the ground and a foundation of sorts that would increase their ability to fight and defend themselves and hold their ground. So that's what he means by the shoes. Why? What does he mean by the readiness given by the gospel of peace? Well, the gospel of peace is the good news that the believer in Jesus Christ is at peace with God. I don't know if you remember Romans 5, verse 1. Quizzers could probably quote it for me. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The foundation of our lives as believers rests in this fact. Because of Jesus and his work on the cross, we are no longer enemies of God, but are instead at peace with him. Now, this truth, this fact, should be all that we need to make us ready to stand firm when Satan attacks. We know that our relationship with God is secure, and Satan has already been defeated. We can stand firm because the devil cannot take away or change the peace we already have with God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are his, bought by his Son, Jesus. You see, fear can be a great motivator to give up or give way or back up. But we have nothing to fear because of the gospel of peace. We can be ready to face the attack of the devil head on. So those are the three pieces of armor we should wear at all times. Truth, righteousness, and the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The next three are to be taken up, carried with us to be used when the attacks come. The first, you'll see, is the shield of faith. Now, the image of the shield is important. Okay, it's not one of those little rinky-dink shields. Like, no. The Roman shield was big. They said, what I read, they said it was large enough that the soldier could put his entire body behind the shield. And it was made, it wasn't a metal shield like we often think of shields. It was made of layers and layers of leather. And they could soak the shield in water, make the leather wet. And then that wet leather would actually extinguish flaming arrows that the enemy would shoot at them. That's why Paul uses this illustration when he talks about the fiery darts of the devil and that the shield of faith can extinguish them. Because of that imagery of that Roman shield soaked in water, you could just put out those flames. Those fiery darts that come our way are Satan's lies, his temptations. And our faith, our trust, our confidence in God will extinguish Satan's lies just like the water-soaked shield would extinguish flaming arrows. Now, if our faith wavers, if we begin to doubt God or doubt His Word, it's like we're dropping our shield and exposing ourselves to Satan's lies and temptations. We need to keep that shield of faith up when we're under attack, trusting that God meant everything He said. There's that old saying, right? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Don't let doubts expose you to the devil's lies. Keep your faith strong in every circumstance, especially when you find yourself under attack. Isn't that the time that we tend to doubt the most? I remember the first time I went through a really rough time in my life. And my mother was so encouraging. She looks at me and says, "Well, I guess we'll see how strong your faith is now." I'm like, "Thanks, Mom." I was expecting a little more sympathy. But it's easy to have faith when everything's going great, isn't it? But it's when the attack comes that we really need our faith. That's when that shield of faith has to go up. We have to hide behind it, stand strong in the confidence, the faith that we have in God and all that His promises for us. Well, next is the helmet of salvation. Again, they didn't wear their helmet all the time, the Roman soldier. They carried around with them. I guess it probably wasn't that comfortable. But it was important to put on in battle, right? We've got to protect the head. That's probably the first place the enemy would go for, right? We can kill the head. The rest of the body is close behind. But it's more. The helmet was more than protection for the head, although it was that, very, very important. It was also a symbol of victory. We need to remember that the battle is already won, the battle that we're in. Your salvation, my salvation, is permanent and eternally protected. Just like the peace we have with God, our salvation as believers is a sure thing. We need to wear it. We need to wear it as a symbol of the victory Jesus has won over death and hell. Take it with you everywhere you go and put it on when the attacks come, reminding yourself that you are eternally saved and Satan cannot harm you. Then finally, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. Again, like the previous two, this is to be taken and carried with us so we have it ready for times of battle. The sword is the only offensive weapon mentioned. It can also be used for defense as well, but it's the only weapon that Paul says we need to fight against the devil. The Word of God, the Bible, we talked about this a little bit last week, didn't we? It's all we need to combat the devil's schemes. We need only look at the example of Jesus to see this in practice. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert back at the beginning of his ministries? Remember that story? You can read it in Matthew chapter 4 if you want. But the point I want to make is if you go back and look at that story, is every time Satan tempts Jesus, what does Jesus do? He quotes Scripture. He doesn't say anything else. He just quotes Scripture to him. If the Word of God was all Jesus needed, that's all we need. And if we're to carry the Word of God with us at all times so we're ready, I don't think he meant carry it on your phone. I think we need to carry it up here. We need to spend time in the Word every day so that it's fresh in our minds. We need to memorize Scripture. We need to have it available at all times. So when the time comes, we'll be ready to use the very Word of God to stand firm against the devil's attacks. So that's the armor of God. Truth, righteousness, readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. Now, if using the symbols of the Roman armor helps you remember those things, that's great. But don't get too hung up on the belt and the breastplate and the helmet and the sword. And they're good images. But they're just symbols. They're symbols of the spiritual armor that God wants us to put on and take up. Remember, truth, righteousness, readiness, faith, salvation, the word of God. But Paul isn't finished yet. There's one more essential element in combating the schemes of the devil. And he continues with this in verse 18. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. It's no coincidence if you look back at the beginning of Acts, when the apostles were first starting their ministry on earth after Jesus had gone back to heaven. It says they devoted themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. We've seen the importance of the word of God. Now we see prayer is essential to our ability to stand firm. You see, he says to put on the armor of God. He lists all the armor of God. And then he says, praying at all times. Prayer affects every one of those pieces of armor. And it's not just any prayer, but prayer in the Spirit. That is prayer that is submissive to the will of God. Not selfish or self-serving prayer, but prayer that is submissive to God and His Spirit. And then notice, too, it says we are to pray at all times. Frequent, constant prayer. And then he also says, with all prayer and supplication. So all kinds of prayers. What's supplication? Supplication is just a fancy word for asking or begging, maybe a stronger word. Asking or begging for something. We're to pray a variety of prayers, Paul says, including asking God for what we need. He also says we're not just to pray for ourselves. We are to persevere and stay alert, praying for all the saints. Remember, the saints are other believers. We're to pray for each other. And Paul follows up this instruction with a request that they pray for him. Look at the next verses, 19 and 20. He says, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Even the great apostle Paul needed people to pray for him. I mean, we all need the prayer support that comes from other believers. And notice what Paul asked them to pray for. Not for deliverance from prison, as you might expect. I mean, that's probably what I would have prayed for. If I was in prison, in chains, I would have been saying, hey, guys, can you pray that God would get me out of this situation? Now, Paul doesn't even go there. He asked that they pray that God would give him the words to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. You see, verse 20 tells us that Paul considered himself to be exactly where God wanted him to be. And he wanted to boldly proclaim the good news that the Gentiles now had full access to God along with the Jews through Jesus Christ. That's the mystery of the gospel, if you remember back in Ephesians 3, verse 6. It's a great example for us. A, what we should ask people to pray for us. And B, that regardless of where we are in our lives, wherever God has us, we need to be faithful to the calling that God has placed on our lives, regardless of our circumstances. Now finally, Paul closes off his letter with these words in verses 21 through 24. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Paul often ended his letters with a little personal note, and here is no different. He commends Tychicus to them. He was probably the one who delivered the letter. He probably sent it with him. And he was also there, Paul says, to fill him in on how Paul was doing and all the other little details that weren't included in this letter. So the believers would know what was happening. And he was also there to encourage them on Paul's behalf. It's kind of like when we have a missionary come and visit us. You know, one of our international workers comes and they get up here and they share a little bit about what God's been doing over there, and we pray for them and they pray for us and we encourage each other. That's what's happening here. And then Paul leaves them with this blessing. He says, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Paul expresses his desire that they, not just brothers, but sisters too. That term brothers meant all the fellow believers. That they would have the virtues of the Christian life. Peace, love, and faith. From God and from Jesus Christ. Not just worldly peace. Not just the absence of conflict. And not just worldly love that we have for each other. Or faith. We all have faith, right? Even the non-believer has a certain amount of faith. They sit in chairs and get in their car and turn the end. I mean, everything you do is an act of faith. You expect something to happen when you do something else. But he's talking not about worldly peace, love, and faith, but godly peace, godly love, godly faith. Then he adds one more, grace. Grace for all who love Jesus with a perfect, eternal, never-ending love. See, it all comes back to Jesus again, doesn't it? I mean, the theme of Ephesians is our identity, who we are, but always because of Jesus. Our new life in Christ Jesus, our behavior in Christ Jesus, our identity in Christ Jesus, our marriages and our families and our work relationships, all in Christ Jesus. As believers, everything we are, everything we do, should come from who we are because of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the new life that we as believers have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for all we've learned from Ephesians, and thank you especially today as we've talked about all the different armor you give us to withstand the attack that we will face from Satan. Lord, thank you that we're not in this on our own. Thank you that we have you. We have your strength. We have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, growing our faith, reminding us of our salvation, and the peace we have with God, teaching us your truth, helping us to be righteous in the way we live, giving us the Word of God, that Word that we can learn and memorize, and it teaches us and teaches us how to live. Lord, thank you that you haven't left us on our own with a list of rules to follow, but you've equipped us with everything we need to live the life you would have us to live. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.